Hi, welcome back, Going There Girlies. We have a fun interview today and we're excited to jump right in. And so I'm going to try this name and I'm going to roll an R, guys, because this is how you're supposed to say it. But welcome, Mariella. Mariella? Did I say it right?
Did it well. Yes.
She has to say that. She's being kind.
Yes. Welcome. We're excited to have you on Going There. We always love a new friend that we just met 5 minutes ago. So I'm excited to jump in and talk and get to know you.
Yes.
Love it. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
We were just chatting with you about how you're in San Diego and we were like, oh, we love the weather there. And you mentioned that it's cold. And I just knew you were going to say some like beautiful, warm, perfect number was cold to you. So we said, well, what is the temperature? And you said 75 and you pulled out the Uggs. And we were like, girl, I would be in a bathing suit in 75 degree weather.
We could go down the beach. It's a beach day.
Oh, we were telling you we live in a college town. If we have a 70 degree day as it starts to get closer to spring, you will go on like the grassy areas of our college campus and just see, I mean, like half naked girls, like laying out, like trying to be in the sun. So that is warm to us, but
we're spoiled out here. This is all I know. So, I mean, when I was in Missouri out there for those 3 weeks, like I was telling you guys about, I didn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
With the snow. It was cold. Yeah. I was like, get me out of here.
It's different than if you were like in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado experiencing the snow. Like it's different here. It's like slushy and gross and like just freezing and not fun. There's not like snow activities to do here. So we feel you on that. We're coming out of a dark, cold winter and we're all looking forward to some sunshine. So
yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
Yeah. Well, why don't you start us off there? Obviously, you're located in San Diego, but let our audience know a little bit more about you. What does life look like for you? What do you do? What does work, family, all the things look like for you?
Yeah. So like I said, I'm from San Diego, California. I was actually born in Mexico, but I moved here when I was little. I've been here my whole life. I married, have 3 kids. The oldest is 14. Our youngest 2 are 3 and 1. So
fun.
Super like in the thick of it, you know, my book came out in February. So it's like, I have actually like 4 kids because it's like a whole, I feel like a birthing process.
Everyone says, every author says that. They say they feel like they birthed a book.
It really does feel that way because like my last 2 children, we planned them in the sense of like, we were planning and preparing and we were praying and we were expecting. So with a book, it's kind of like the same thing. You're like in your mind planning and preparing and imagining what this is going to be like. And then the contract comes and then you start the process, the 9 months of like the writing and the birthing. And then when you push it out into the world, it's like, oh my gosh, she's alive. She's here. It's just like a whole thing. So it's a blessing. So day to day, my first and most precious ministry is obviously my family. Having 2 toddlers, they just keep me on my toes. And the preteen phase that we're in with our 14-year-old, that's a whole nother ministry in itself. But I get the honor and privilege of doing ministry full time, not just in my home, but also through my online ministry, She Speaks Fire, where I get to go around and preach and do spoken word and make resources and write books and all the things. So I'm full of life, super grateful for what I get to do with my life.
Yeah.
I was going to say, guys, if you're not doing that right now, but make sure to go follow She Speaks Fire on Instagram, because just getting to know you a little bit online, it has been super fun. You put out amazing content. And that's why I think we're just thrilled to talk to you today, because you really do like Speak Fire. And it is really fun. And so this is going to be a good Going There conversation.
Quick side note question. What does church look like in San Diego? Are there like awesome, thriving churches available to people? Is it a city where you feel alone in following God? What's that like?
So church is alive and popping out here in San Diego. It got a little weird during COVID, you know, with all the regulations and church just kind of getting closed down. But there's like a flavor. There's a place, a tribe for every person. We have arrays from home churches to big organizations to beach churches to like community, just basically just doing life with people. Yeah, there's something for everybody. We're alive and active out here.
That's awesome.
That is really awesome. Well, we want to dive right in there. So obviously you put out really great content online. You've just come out with your first book. So congrats, She Speaks Fire. But just take us through. So we want to kind of hear your whole life story, which I know you talk about a lot in the book and you talk about in your ministry. But share a little bit of that story with us here today. And where has God brought you today?
Yeah. So basically, my story with the Lord is not that old. I'm actually only like 9 years old in the faith. I wasn't raised in the church. I wasn't raised going. We would like frequent sometimes, but we weren't like involved in ministry. I was raised in a single parent home. So unlike the normal story of how when parents divorce, the kids go with the mother, they visit the father. Me and my two sisters actually went and lived with our dad, and our dad is 87 years old this year. So he's from a whole different generation. Everybody, when I grew up, thought that my dad was like my grandfather. So I say that to say this, is that the role of fatherhood was very much different in his generation than it was with the people I'm growing up with, or even now. So for his understanding of what a father is, it was very much so provision. It was very much so making sure we had a roof over our head and food on the table. So there was absolutely no emotional connection. So I grew up severely like emotionally neglected, and it wasn't out of unlove. It was just, that was not the norm. Like, he did that. I literally went to school, you guys, until I was a senior in high school. My daddy packed me a sack lunch with a note on the front and a picture like that he would draw with the Sharpie. But nobody asked me how my day was when I came home. Nobody affirmed me and validated me and told me my identity and spoke to me. So I very much grew up in silence. And then I didn't have like examples of what that would look like, because we grew up without television. So my dad was like, you need to work that muscle in your mind. So that's where my writing came to be. Wow. I started writing very young, but I was very tormented as a child. I just felt like a burden. I felt like I wasn't loved. I felt like not wanting to take up any space. So from a very young age, I came into alignment with this belief that if I am helpful, if I add to any room, then I will receive love, because love is something that we all need inherently, right? So I started trying to meet a natural need in an unnatural way. I became the greatest girl with the greatest personality. I had all the friends. I would go in a room and figure out, what do I need to do to be in this room? Which is, from the outside in, people are like, oh, she was the homecoming queen. She won best personality. She has all the friends. She's so happy. But really, the truth was, is that I was hiding who I was, what I really felt inside, out of fear of being rejected and abandoned, like I felt. So going through life performing, because that's what it was. It was a physical act. I mean, I'm sure there was like parts of that that are me. I am a kind, funny person, but it was amplified to the sense of, I'm going to be so helpful to you that you will only want to be around me, and you won't leave me. And where that left is, I was tired, you guys. I was so tired that I found solace, and I found solace and retreat and comfort in things that just allowed me to unplug. So insert substance abuse, insert toxic relationships, insert anything that would give me 1 ounce of worth and value. I threw myself into that. So I started doing drugs soon out of high school, just to like not feel. I didn't want to feel anymore. I didn't want to think anymore. I was just so tired. And one day I heard this voice, you guys, like, if it didn't happen to me, I'd be like, she's capping. Like, really? Yeah. You heard a voice? I heard a voice in my heart. Like, it wasn't audible. It was just a knowing. And that's how the Lord speaks to me now. But it was a knowing that said, open up the Bible. It was like 3 a.m. in my room, in my family home. And we had like this home Bible that would just hang around the encyclopedias. Like, nobody really picked it up. We had Google, like, like any other book. And I just like dusted it off. And like any book that you read, you start from the beginning, right? So I opened up the Bible to the book of Genesis. And I start reading, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, he created male and female in their image. He created them. And I start reading and I start having a revelation. I had a revelation of creation. I had a revelation of God. I had a revelation in that moment of my identity. Because like I spoke to you guys about, I would write from a young age. That's how I would express myself. So I would write poetry. And I had this understanding that everything that I write has intention. Everything that I write is an extension of myself. So in that moment, I realized that I was created by God. I'm loved by God. I'm an extension of God. I was intended by God. I'm not just this maneuver my way through and survive. In that moment, something supernatural happened to me in that moment through the reading of the Word of God. That's why I'm so like obsessed with the word of God because it's alive, it's active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It cut through that vain imagination that I was unwanted and unloved. And I had a revelation of my identity and my love of the love of the Father for me. So from that moment, God is my witness. I was like doing like cocaine. I would do cocaine. I have not touched cocaine since that day that I opened up the Bible. God supernaturally delivered me from hard drugs. I have never touched them again. That was January 2015. And I would just devour the Bible for about 3 weeks. I was just reading. I wanted to know this God. I went my whole life not knowing this God. I just wanted him to reveal himself to me. So I started reading the Bible, just devouring it. And about 3 weeks after that, somebody invited me to their church. And they had been inviting me for like a good year before. And I just would reject them and be like, I don't like Christians. You guys are so judgmental. And they just always responded in love and patience. And they were persistent and they were gentle and they were kind. And that one time when I was finally ready, they were planting seeds along the way, even though I rejected them over and over and over again, my time had come that I heard the voice of the Father. And then their invitation, God watered that seed and he brought the increase. I started going to church. I'm still a part of that same local body that I've been in since 2015. And I've just been on fire for God because he set me free. Like, it's real. I lived it out.
Oh
so
my gosh.
And then Fire was born shortly after that.
I'm like, okay, I feel like we stop should just, recording.
Yes, that was amazing.
You just preached the gospel and showed so many things. I'm like, yes, that is why when people say that there's a God who's not really working or not really alive, like, he was so alive through his word to you. The person that invited you to church and got turned down over and over and over for a year. It's like, girls, like, keep asking, keep pursuing. So many things you said. I had chills of just like, sometimes I think we forget the power that we have through the God that we love and serve is a powerful, holy, working, moving God.
Girl,
and you when you were just preaching, I'm like, no, like that is important for us to remember that God, maybe your story is more like Christian and I, we've shared it many times and we've had people on that it's like, we grew up in church and maybe sometimes you don't feel like you have this big story like yours, but it's helpful to remember God takes people like you who are living in sin, living in darkness and despair, and literally pulled you out into the light. It's like in our culture, in Christian culture, we don't want to like recognize that as much because it feels weird. It feels like you were saying in the beginning, like if someone would have told me, oh, God spoke to me. It's like, well, until you've had that experience, it sounds kooky. And then you experience it and you're like, no, that's why our God is the way he is and powerful because he works in miraculous ways. So, I mean, your whole story right there is like amazing.
Well, and I feel like even we should all just be taking notes here because even it's been pressed upon, it's been something we've been talking about in our community that even if your story is not as big and like life transforming as this, the gospel does transform all of us.
Yes.
And we need to have the ability to speak that to other people, that we need to be able to say, hey, this is how the gospel has transformed my life. Even though, yeah, maybe Samantha and I's stories are more calm. They're more pretty much like, hey, we grew up in the church and this is how we came to know Jesus intimately.
A slow change.
But that has transformed our life. And so I hope this story puts you on fire to figure out how do I share my gospel transformation and how that has literally transformed how
you
I
know
think
what,
and live.
Guys, God is so kind. The fact that he has kept you guys from birth until now that you're still following Jesus, I think that's almost a greater testimony that you have every reason to walk away. You've probably seen despair. You've seen the ins and outs of humanity and the people that represent God. But you know what? Those two ladies, their witness ministered to me because every like time, I'm telling you guys, for a solid year, they would meet me and greet me with a smile in the depths of my depression, in my addiction, in my despair. I knew they were my daughter's daycare providers. I would go after school to pick her up and they would greet me with a smile. I'm like, why are they always like happy? Like, why do they want to talk to me? Like, this has to be fake. And I was testing their fruit. I would reject them, but I would watch how they would respond to me. And they didn't hold it against me. They greeted me with love every single time. And then the one day that I came in, that the Lord was working in my heart, I failed to mention this in the story before I opened up the Bible. This lady, her name is Miss Deanna. She discerned me. I think she discerned me because I was so good at hiding and masking. She discerned that something was wrong with me. And I was like, just in the depths of depression. And she's like, what's wrong? And in that moment, after a good year of her just pursuing me and being kind to me, I didn't have words. I just started crying in the daycare. And she wrapped her arms around me and she whispered in my ear, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give them rest. In that moment, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't read the Bible, but those were seeds that were being planted. Like the witness that we carry as children of the light, we're not to hide our light under a bushel. Let your light shine before men. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the God that's inside of you. Will we be bold witnesses and be the hands and feet of Jesus in our communities? And like, we weren't even in church. We were at a daycare. That's the mission field, you guys. Yeah. Like, you're a minister of the gospel. She was at work and I was just a random lady picking up her daughter. And God used her in my life. That's powerful.
And this keeps coming up. Me too. I'm like tearing up because this keeps coming up again and again and again. And I don't think it's by mistake that like we are entrusted with this awesome news that we get to share with people. And by the Holy Spirit, we are equipped to do so. And so like, ladies, let's be people who do that in this generation. And with people younger and older and in our workplaces and in our homes and
the people we don't like and we don't want to be that way too.
Can I also just say,
going back to like how you were working so hard to be this person, I also just want to say, I love that you did say like, that is kind of probably who I was, part of me. I'm like, from the second I've talked to you through a screen, it's like you have this warmth about you. Like, I know if I was ever in a room with you, I'd be like, well, I want to be friends with that girl. Cause you just, God has given you such a gift of like speaking, and your passion has been like, I just love listening to you. So jumping into a little bit more of the specifics in your book, you talk about seeds of shame and how those can be planted. And will you just share a little bit, like, what was that like for you? And how do you grow from like those seeds of shame that really, I know in my own life, can like dig such deep roots and move into this place of like, okay, I can have freedom from that shame. This is where God has now called me in my life. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So my first conscious understanding of shame, because the gospel does tell us, Jesus says we're to be like little children. Why? Because little children believe, little children just are free. And I remember this shift in my life when I was free to when I wasn't free, when shame got a grip of me. I was 10 years old. And I told you guys, I grew up in a single parent home and we never celebrated birthday parties. I never had a birthday party. So at 10, my two sisters were only 11 months apart. So our birthdays are within the same 2 months, January and February.
Okay.
One of us is actually the same age for like a couple weeks until the other one turns the next age. So my dad would literally take us out like one time and we'd have a dinner and we'd go and get ice cream, but I've never got like a birthday gift, anything like that. But this one year, my sisters decide, let's have a birthday party. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, let's have a birthday party. So I remember the anticipation and just being so excited, filling out all the invitations. And I told you guys, I had all these friends. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved to be around me. And I remember handing one out to everyone I've ever spoken to, because I would never want anyone to feel like they weren't a part of anything. So I wanted them to feel like they could come. So we're at Family Fun Center and we have three big tables with benches on the side, and each one of us have a birthday cake in the middle, right? And then there's a bunch of tokens for when our guests come to hand them out. And the party started at 12. All of my sister's friends were like more punctual than mine. So 12 o'clock came, went, 1 o'clock came and went. Not one of my friends showed up, not one. And I was there. Like, I talk about this in my book, like surrounded by a cups of tokens that had never been claimed. And I remembered in that moment, that's when the seed of shame was planted in me. My consciousness was aware of the fact that there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. And I remember thinking in that moment, the pain of being seen in my condition, my nakedness, like my vulnerability, like I'm sad. Let me let people in around me on how I'm feeling. I made a conscious decision in that moment to put on a smile that could deflect anybody's like accusations that I was anything but okay in that moment. And that's the moment that hidden places became my habitation. That's when I started hiding behind the fig leaves of a good personality. This could be anything in our lives. We could hide behind fig leaves of our career. We could hide behind fig leaves of our families, of our ministries, of anything we do, anything that we put out to cover the true essence of who we are. Because we look in the garden and the first time that shame is mentioned, you guys, God is telling us that humans didn't have it.
Right.
He said they were naked and they felt no shame. And God is so intentional. And that made me realize, like, we were created to never, ever feel this emotion. Where in our lives was there a seed planted in us that we felt like we're unworthy, we're unvaluable, and we can't truly be who we are in the presence of God and others? Because in that moment when sin entered, the first thing that came was the impulse to hide, right? Mm-hmm. Fear came, and then they wanted to cover themselves. So they hid from each other, and then they hid from God. So we have to, as believers, see like what parts of our lives are hidden. And that's any part that we are unable to unveil in front of other people or God until we feel like it's presentable enough to do it, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I kind of go on tangents and I totally forgot what your question was.
That you answered it, just that shame and then like moving out of that. And I think you answered that by saying like, we have to kind of like look inward and say, I don't know. I think it's easier to start from the surface as anything. It's like, okay, well, what do I do that I do have this slight inclination that, wait, I think I do that because I'm hiding something deeper. I don't want people to see this. So I say that, or I do this, or I act like this in my, you mentioned like job or family or whatever. And so, I mean, I totally think you answered that. It's like, we have to be real about what are we hiding and like, then why are we hiding it? And like, admit if there is that seed of shame, like then we can't tackle it if we don't like name it first. So.
Yeah. And shame operates in secret. Mm-hmm. It operates in secrecy. Like, I really believe that this is why there's been such a rise of anointed leaders in the body of Christ at large, because like, if they could just be open about what they were struggling with one person,
yeah,
like maybe that shame would not have spilled over and grown into full-blown sin, which grown into full-blown destruction of their future and like their families and these kinds of things. And if we're not careful, like we could fall in the same trap of that, is that we hide ourselves out of fear instead of running to God in our fear, in our shame. We say, hey, God, he's the only one that can actually like cover us for real. And actually, that's the beauty of the gospel, is that we don't have to use our own systems, our own flimsy fig leaves to cover ourselves anymore. We get to be covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Like, we get to be covered and hide in God. Like, that's the better covering than anything we can ever have. But truly, like, the message of freedom from shame, because I've lived in it so much, is that we have the ability to be seen and known for who we truly are without shame because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He removed our sin. We are a new creation in him. And as we walk out day by day in the sanctification process, yeah, we're going to trip and fall, but that's not our identity. Our identity is fully accepted, fully redeemed, fully justified, fully loved, right?
Yeah.
And we just got to take hold of that and live that out.
Hey, Going There girls. We hope you're loving today's episode. We just have a quick favor. If you don't mind leaving us a 5-star rating and review, whether you listen on Apple or Spotify, you can just click that little 5 stars. Or if you're on Apple, leave a little review. And that is seriously such an easy way to help other people find Going There. And we so appreciate it. Now let's get back to our conversation.
Amen. You're like speaking so deeply to something I have felt so much most of my life, and really recognizing that for the first time in my like young adulthood and college from like some very just pointed experiences in high school. And ever since, even just like I'm walking through a current season of even recognizing that again and like having to humble myself and bring people into that. I love what you said about the hidden places became your like habitat and how quickly we have to run from that and how quickly we have to recognize that and bring other people in. But I am just reminded again, like God is not done with me, that these seeds are deeply rooted in me. And sadly enough, that like I have to keep tilling the soil to get to those places. And they're going to be really deep and it's going to look really ugly. And it is going to be really tempting to say, I just want to hide. I don't really want to show this to people because I'm really good at that.
Yeah.
But no, like, when we bring.
I'm saying for me, not for you.
No, but like when we bring light to those, they shrink so quickly that there's no power in the light. That like they are just seen and it is so small after you can say that, and there's actually such freedom. I feel like someone maybe who's listening to us right now is saying like, I'm still not feeling this though. Like I am entangled in what I'm feeling, the depths of my shame, the realness of those experiences. Like talk to us, like what does that actually look like? What does it actually look like as you say all these things to move into a place where like, no, I actually only find my only approval in God. And these are things that I have like tangibly had to do and work on to get to a place that you are now.
Yeah. So I went and dissected the garden account and I said, I want to get to the bottom of this. Like, Lord, show me something. And I started looking and he took me to, he said, Mariela, look at the condition of humanity, the atmosphere in which I put them, where shame wasn't present. Mm-hmm. So I started looking before shame entered. I looked, what did it look like to be human without shame? Well, first, they had identity in God. God said, I created them in my image, in my likeness. They had community. They were male and female. He created them to have a helpmate, to be together. They had purpose. He said, go ahead and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, every creeping thing that crawls. They had boundaries. Mm-hmm. God said, you can have all this stuff, but just don't have that one thing. So I'm dissecting and I'm pulling out lessons of what it looks like to have a shame-free life. And these are the very areas that the enemy attacks us in to live in shame. He's going to attack our identity. He's going to attack our community. He's going to attack our purpose. He's going to attack the boundaries. Man, why can't you do that? God thinks you're going to be like him. And then I started looking at how did shame enter? And then I saw, wow, it entered through our senses. Like Adam saw that the tree was good. What we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, these things are temporal, but God says everything that was created that is seen was first created by that which is unseen. God is an unseen God that lives in an unseen place that communicates with his children in a seen realm through an unseen spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So are we living in our temporal senses, in our flesh, and what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell? Or are we being moved by the Spirit of God, right? Yeah. So then I start seeing through their senses and then, through lies. She started speaking to a serpent that was telling her something different than the word of God, than what God had already spoken. So I started saying, how do we battle shame? I was very intentional with not saying overcoming shame, with not saying like getting the victory over shame. I believe that it is an ongoing battle that we are going to have to consciously get in the ring with as believers and root out on a day-to-day basis and keep an inventory of our lives and how this is going to be entering in, because the proclivity to want to hide and the proclivity to want to be unseen and fear and shame is old as creation, you guys. It's as old as the garden, and the enemy loves to keep God's children in that. That's why God says, don't hide your light under a bushel. Let it shine before men. That's God's will for us, that we shine before men. So going through those 8 garden lessons that I extract in my book, I believe that I created like a battle plan for us to combat this, like on a day-to-day basis, where we're engaging in community, where we're involving people in our lives, where we confess our sins to one another so we can be healed. We allow people to help us carry our burdens. And then intimacy with God, where we start getting the mind of Christ. We have it, but we start allowing our mind to be renewed day by day on what does God say about me? Who does God say I am? What is my purpose in this season? What is my assignment? Because when we are busy doing the things that of God, then shame is not as easily able to attack us when we have all these other things in place. So I believe that it's something that we have to walk out, you guys. And it's something that we have to, like I said, keep inventory of our lives to make sure that it's not creeping in and trying to take over.
A couple of things. I love all that you said. I'm like, I could just listen
Me
to you
too.
Talk
I'm
all
like, keep
day.
Going.
And
keep
like
going.
You are
sorry
yeah,
that Samantha and I
preaching.
Keep interrupting.
I know. I'm like, our words don't matter right now because everything you're saying is so great. So the one thing I heard in that we always share with our listeners, and I know Christian and I are constantly trying to remember too, is that idea that you said of that battle plan of like it has to be an ongoing active process. It's not something you do. You like tackle once and check off and you're like, okay, next on my list, God, what do you like have for me? It's like, no, this is something we always have to be intentional about battling. I love that idea of battling because it can't be something that we become lackadaisical about. And I think about even the garden and it's like, yeah, she wasn't on guard in the way that she became relaxed. And then talking about the evil one, that has been something that, again, Christian and I growing up in church, there's been different seasons of my life where I think sometimes if I'm being honest, I just forget the devil exists. I forget that there is this force that wants to capture me in a different direction than like God has me in. And I love that you mentioned like we have to recognize that the devil is active in there. And I don't know, like, will you just remind us, will you just preach to us of like, why will the devil never win? Like, why will he never be able to overcome us?
Woo, girl. Yeah, this just makes me so excited because I was in the grips of his grasp until Jesus set me free. Even in the garden, right? We see that Adam and Eve, they try to cover themselves with their own works, their own fig leaves, their own abilities and what they thought could cover them and protect them. And I mean, think about it. How can leaves ever weather the storms of life? Like in Missouri, are you going
to be able to There's a bunch of them on the ground, really.
I mean, they might have been able to survive in San Diego with some fig leaves, but the changes of seasons and everything, the things that we try to do to cover ourselves and gain victory over the enemy will never suffice. You know what they did? God said that he created animal skins for them in the garden. He covered them. And then the greater covering that we have, which is in Christ Jesus, that we have the victory over the evil one. He prophesied that in the garden. He said, you're going to have enmity between this woman, but you're going to bruise his heel or whatever. He'll crush your head. We have victory over the enemy because we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. Like it's already finished. Like God is like that really cool high school teacher that tells you, hey, if you pass the pretest, wink, wink, you're going to pass the test. Like, here's the answers. Like, this is the end. This is the finality. And that's the thing is that we have to understand that this is a story that's already been written. Like we are walking in the story of God. The battle is not even ours. It's the Lord's. And our position as children of God is to be just that, children that we allow our Father to fight for us, but we stay within the boundaries that God has given us in our lives through the boundaries of his word, what he tells us through his living word of God, but also being in intimacy with him. And we allow and we see his hand that's moving in and through us. Like the enemy is a defeated foe. Like he has no power unless the power that we give him. And that is like the biggest thing is that when I say a battle plan, because he doesn't take no days off, he hates you. Like you are a child of God. You have the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the same spirit that lives inside of you. The same spirit that hovered over the face of the deep when it was dark, the same spirit that said, let there be light and there was light will illuminate your life, illuminate your path. And you sit in the seat of victory. The scriptures actually tell us that we are seated in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also the one that is to come. He's given us authority and dominion over the prince of the powers of the air, because everything has a name. We have to understand that shame has a name, depression has a name, anxiety has a name. And guess what? At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Depression will bow at the name of Jesus. Shame will bow at the name of Jesus. That is the victory that we walk in, is the victory of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby all things are made subject to him. We are winners, ladies. We are victorious, ladies. That's why it's so important that we put on our full armor every single day, that we can stand. And in that victory, you guys, this life that we live as believers is not a life by osmosis. Jesus coming to the cross, you guys, was not the finish line. It was the starting line, because now you have a life to live. Now you have an impact to make, that God thought, in this generation, I'm going to put her here, because God, the living God, the creator of all things good, wants to manifest in and through you. And we all have the same ministry. We all have the ministry of reconciliation. We've all been given that ministry. You guys do it through a podcast. Miss Deanna did it through her daycare. I do it through my ministry. You could be doing it at home as a mother. You could be doing it as a wife. Everywhere you go, the kingdom goes. Like, you are an ambassador for heaven. We are dual citizenships. I was born in Mexico and I have US citizenship. So I have citizenships in two places. You are a citizen of heaven. We have to have that revelation that our steps are ordered by the Lord. He delights in our way. Even if we fall, we won't be cast down. He upholds us with his righteous hand. The enemy's a liar, and we just have to take authority over whatever kind of lies that fool's trying to give us, because I mean, he's got no power. He's got no
I feel so like blessed by you speaking all of that over our, like, for our listeners, but more for us right now. Like, I just feel so encouraged by your words. Like, I want to hear that truth every day. And we're so dumb in the way that we forget we have all of that truth right there. And I just feel really like blessed by you saying all that right now.
I'm sitting here thinking right now, like I came into this podcast thinking, you know, these are the 10 things I need to do later today. Mm-hmm. Feels so mundane, feels so boring. Even listening to you, I'm like, wow, she is so talented, so wise. So if you are a listener right now, who you're just like, my life is so boring. What I'm doing doesn't matter. And this feels so mundane. I'm wiping another dirty butt. I'm wiping down the kitchen counters another time. I'm going to work and typing in these Excel spreadsheets. Like, I don't know where these listeners are coming from today, but if that is you, that like God has sovereignty and a plan and a purpose for what you're doing right now, like what you're doing, what you're cleaning, what you're working on, that there's purpose there, that he has created you for this time and place to do his kingdom work. It's not chill work. It's not work that doesn't matter. It matters a lot. And he's ordained that. And he's like set that forth for you because he knows you're the perfect one to do it. Mm-hmm. And that is just like so encouraging to me.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important for us to know, you guys, that whatever we're working towards is beautiful. It's hard. It's holy. It's wonderful. Mm. The goals that we have, those are wonderful. The desires that we have as we're delighting ourselves in God, he puts those desires in our hearts. Mm-hmm. We have to understand that Jesus is the prize. Like he's the prize. Like in the midst of us recording this podcast, it's his presence. It's him. Mm-hmm. He's the gift. Like he's the one that is with us when the valleys of life and the valleys and the mountaintops, the suffering, the trials, the tribulations, the fact that we don't get to travel ever alone, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So I just want to encourage whoever is listening right now to just stop and be aware of where the presence of God is. We live in the Garden of Eden again, where there is no separation between us and God. He walks with you. He talks with you. In the cool of the day, he is with you. The things that we have on our to-do list, and don't get it twisted, I am over here like, oh my gosh, I'm so behind in life. And God has to always reel me back in.
Yep.
And he said, the very breath that's in your lungs, it belongs to me and I give it to you. Delight in me. And when we put it all down and we say, Lord, like, what is your will for my life today? Like, free me from being just obsessed with myself, because this culture teaches us to be obsessed with ourselves, our agendas, our plans, and all those things can be good. Like, how many of us know that we can be doing really good things that God isn't in?
Yeah.
Because our heart, it's the posture of our heart, and God is concerned for your soul. You're his kid, you're his daughter, and he cares about your mental health. He cares about your body. He cares about your contentment. He cares about your depression. He cares about your anxiety. And it's like, when we trust in the sovereignty of God that he provides for his children, he said, the birds neither sow nor do they reap, but I know their needs and I will provide. And we get into this like thing here in America. We get into this culture of attaining and achieving and doing and doing and doing. And we lose sight of the fact that this is not even our home.
Yeah.
We have maybe 100 years on this joint if we're vegan, okay? And gluten-free.
Yeah.
But, like, we have an expiration date on this earth. It's time for us to wake up. And if we need to repent, which is all it is a change of mind. Mm-hmm. If we need to repent and say, Lord, please forgive me for becoming over familiar with your presence. Yes. Lord, bring me back in agreement and alignment with your will. God, give me your eyes. Give me your ears. Allow me to walk and see and move through this world as Jesus does, because he says that we are the body who fills all in all. Jesus is the head. He said, it's better that I go. Because Jesus was confined to like one geographical location. Now Jesus is here in San Diego living through me. Jesus is over there in Missouri living through y'all. Jesus is wherever, whoever is listening, he's there with you, living through you. And sometimes we get caught up and it's okay. And God knows that. But if you're caught up, I want you to take inventory of your life and realize, man, is this depression? Is this anxiety? Is this overwhelm that I'm feeling by things that I've picked up that I believe are good? Or are these things that God has given me?
Yeah.
Because we pick up a lot of things. But let us be women that just receive from God. I never thought about being an author. Okay. Like these people, Thomas Nelson, the publishing house, they found me on Instagram. So my ministry was just birthed out of an overflow of God. I just want to tell people about what I found, man. Like, I remember sitting in front of a pile of cocaine thinking, if I do one more line, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And I didn't care, you guys. I would still do it because I had no hope. I thought this thing that we're sitting on, the hope that is in Jesus, there's people that have no idea. I was that person. I was like, I didn't care if I lived or if I died. Jesus literally set me free. So I started just going online and just like encouraging people, like, how can I tell people about this thing that I found? And as I'm walking in the one step of obedience that God told me to do, not thinking of anything, just keeping my eyes on him, this publishing house reaches out to me and it's like, hey, have you thought about writing a book? I'm like, I've never thought about it, but I mean, I think that's pretty cool, you know? Yeah. And they're like, yeah, like we would love to work with you. Do you have an agent? And mind you guys, I had no idea that people create Instagram accounts for the purpose of getting like a book deal. I didn't know, no shade. I just did not know. So I was like, what do you mean? Do I have an agent? Like, no, I don't. And they're like, well, you should write a proposal and get an agent and let us bid on it because we want to work with you. Let's just say that was like a January, right? I'm like procrastinator nation over here. And I just didn't do it. I mean, I just didn't. It wasn't on my agenda. And literally 6 months later, they reach back out and they're like, you know what? We just want to sign you. You guys, they signed me as a first-time author, a six-figure book deal as a first-time author with not one word written, not one outline, not one proposal. I share this not to flex. I share this because God knows what we have need of. When we're walking in step with the Spirit and we're not trying to grab and we're not trying to pick and we're not trying to chase and we're not trying to do, and we just say, Lord, I'll be where my feet are for you today. God opens the doors that are for us and we become content with our portion. And that's really what I think a life in the Spirit is.
One thing I will say, and I hope that everyone can say this about anyone who's saying that they're following God, but you are just someone who, without a doubt, I can tell knows and loves the Lord. And I am just so grateful for everything you've spoken over us, over our listeners. And I don't know, I just feel really blessed by the way that you have chatted with us today, shared your story, and I want more of you. So will you tell all of us, like, where can we find more of you? Where can we follow? Tell us about how we can get your book. I just think you are so gifted in speaking, and I'm so grateful that you were found to write books, because I want more of it. I'm like, I got to hear more of what you have to say through God. Like, you know that.
Well, that's why I love.
You're skilled in that.
I even love the part that you're like, I'm not trying to flex that. I'm like, no, guys, let's like actually flex for God's work.
Yeah.
Because like we can flex for what he is doing in your life and what he's doing through you, because it's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's really, really a gift to so many people. So yeah, tell us all the things.
Thank you, guys. So you guys can find me on my website, SheSpeaksFire.com. If you would like me to speak at your church or conference, whatever, that you could do all that through there. You could get my book through there, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, wherever you find them. But I'm going to give like my two cents. I was actually the narrator for my audiobook. So if you're like a busy girly, if you're like a girl that's on
love
the
an
move,
audiobook.
I'm an Audible babe. So I literally, let me read my book to you. It's available on Audible.
Your voice is like
so good.
Honey. I'm like, I'm going to be I'm
so good.
Flying in a couple days. And I'm like, yep. You know, I always like bring my Kindle along and it's like half the time it's never touched. So it's like, yep, I'm going to be listening to you on that flight in a couple days. But
oh, so cool.
Yeah. So good. Thank you for your time today. And again, thank you just for sharing your story and just using your gifts so, so well. We really appreciate it and can't wait for more people to hear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for going there with us.
If you loved what you heard, don't forget to follow along with us at Going There, the podcast.
And it also means so much to us if you subscribe to our podcast and shared it with a friend.
Talk to you soon.